Depends to the road.
I don't buy it, don't So we're here on Daf Tzadites Amud Beis, and we're holding, if you count up from the bottom, Itmar, it's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the top, from the bottom. And the sugya that we did last, which you may remember, about what's called Hagrama, it's one of the five psuei shechita, where the case was that after he shechted Rav Siman, then he lifted the knife and he cut a different tabas on the last miut basra, what we call. And the question is whether or not we can hold the shochet liable to pay damages. So the Gemara says that there are really two different dinim here that apply. And when the case came in front of Rav, and he said something paradoxical, he said on the one hand the meat is treif, which means we pass like chachamim that there's a psul shchita even in the last miut basra, but yet he says you cannot collect damages. Now, if the animal is treif, then l'chori should be able to collect damages, right? So the Gemara says something very fascinating. The Gemara says that the psak of Rav is very logical. Why? Because we're not sure how we paskin in the machlokas shin chachomer of Yossi regarding treifa. Is it a treifa? Is it not? Is there a psul of hagrama in the last minute or not? And therefore, we have to apply the principle of safek d'oraisa l'chumra, and you can't eat the meat. When in doubt, leave it out. But on the other hand, when it comes to dini mominus, and now you want to sue for damages, well, maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and what the shochet did was totally innocuous. That was the last thing we got. Okay. So the name of the sugi that we're learning is Uman Shekilkel. Itman. We learned Hamare Dinar Lishulchani. And you may recall that we discussed that you need an expert to determine whether these mos are still valid or not, because what happens is that with the course of time, the mint on and the seal on the coin starts getting rubbed out. So the person that you take this coin to get an expert evaluation is the shulchani, the money changer, and he tells you that it's fine, it's a valid coin. V'nimtza ra, it turns out that it was not good. So let's say you collected money by virtue of a sale, and you collected this dinar. Before you collected it and received it, you decided to get the expert insight of the shulchani, and the shulchani told you fine. Now it turns out that this dinar is a dinar ra, it's not acceptable. So this is Uman Shekilkel, right? He made a mistake. Is Tanicha, the one Bryce says, Uman Potter, he doesn't have to pay if he's an expert. Why? So we explained this many times, that we always assume that a well-experienced expert will do all his diligence, right, all that he has to do, and if he messed up at the end, we assume it's because of onus. It's circumstances beyond his control. Hey, Jod, Chayev, the paradox is that if he's not this professional with years of experience, then what do you say?
He's got to pay.
Right, he has to pay. And that's sort of paradoxical. You know, why are we being more harsh on this hedgehog? You would think we should be more demanding in the case of an Uman. The answer is that the hedgehog didn't have to take this on. He knows full well that he's not the expert, and if he gives you the advice, if he presents himself, Kiilu, that he's gonna tell you what you have to know and evaluate the coin, then he's considered a poshe.
Turns out you're better off going to a
hedgehog than a certain sense, yeah. But I wouldn't recommend going to a hedgehog because, you know.
Because you're always going to be collecting instead of getting.
Do you know, Rabosai, exactly
what you want the end
do you know the original context of the word hedgehog?
Yeah.
It's in the Dharan. because the law is that if you want to be matir neder, you have two options. It's the sugya nedarim. Either you go to what's called a yachid mumche, an expert, or you go to a hedjot. You know, he's a regular guy off the street, but if you go to a hedjot, you need
three
hedjotos. Now that word hedjot, which in its context has a very
negative
In its context has a very specific meaning. It's not pejorative in any sense, you know. Not everyone, I don't know if anyone here presents himself to be a yachid mumche, knows nedarim inside out. It's very complicated in the sector. So the word hedjot in its original context is not pejorative, it's not negative. But somehow over the course of time, because, you know, a hedjot is like a regular guy, it took on a whole different meaning, to the extent in which the Ramah writes in Hilchos Sukkah that if a person remains in the sukkah when it's raining and he continues to eat, he's a hedjot. So a hedjot became like, you know,
like an idiot. Hedjot.
So my father once, Rav Soloveitchik, at the end of the Arche Kala in the summer in Boston, he knew he was getting on in years that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was coming around the bend, and he had a minig that he accepted upon himself to stand for the entire Chazor Sashatz. I don't know if you ever tried such an experiment. I don't recommend it on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's murder. But he did it all his years, but he felt that this year he couldn't do it. So he came up to my father. My father was then the head of the rabbinical organization. It was called the RCA. I don't know if you heard of it, the Rabbinical Council of America. Yeah, to the Goyim, RCA meant something totally different, but fine. And he said, Rabbi Berzon, do me a favor, get together another two people, and I want to be Matir Neder. So my father turns to him. My father had a sense of humor. So my father turns to him, and he says, Rebbe, why do I need two more people? So the Rav says to him, as du zayn yachin mumche veisach nish, aber as ze zayn in het yoytis bin ich sicher. He had a certain attitude of salvage towards the rabbis, you know, that they weren't up to par necessarily in their yediyas haTorah. Yeah, because the rabbis were involved in what I call avodas chutz, you know what I'm saying? They were too busy on the outside. Many rabbis didn't have time to. Because in America, a rabbi was a pastoral kind of rabbi. In England too?
Nowhere near the same.
In America, it's like the rabbi could spend most of his time on visiting the sick and getting members, you know, to join the shul. And all sorts of issues that came up with membership. You know, people confided in the rabbi and they asked for an etzah. It's a beautiful thing, you know, that they went to a religious person. These people were not necessarily, Shomer Torah mitzvahs. When my father, Shom, came to be a rabbi in Flatbush in Brooklyn, you could count the religious people on one hand. When I say religious, I mean those who were really medactic in mitzvah Shabbos. People used to wear, there was no Erev at that time, and they used to wear things, and they jingle their coins and so forth. So this was Flatbush, and today Flatbush is like Borough Park. Every other house is a shtiva. But people don't realize what it was back in the day. So a rabbi had to spend enormous amount of time, instead of preparing shiurim, on being makariv people. You know, I don't mean kiruv in the classical Lubavitch sense. I mean kiruv in the sense of friendship and developing relationships. Fundraising was also part of it, because the shul has to keep going, you know. So, azay zayne hevyaitis binich zicher, you know. So it says here that a hedjot is chayv. That's one brisa. V'tanya idoch, the other brisa says, bein uman, bein hedjot, chayv. According to the second version, even an uman is chayv. So we're not applying the principle of ones in the case of an uman. So a papa comes to try to reconcile this apparent contradiction. Ki tanya uman patur, Kigon danku v'isur. That's a phrase that means a mumcha gadol, an expert. Because again, the mumcha gadol, we assume, comes with all the experience, and if he made a mistake, it must be what? It must be honest. Delo tzrichi limigmar klal. He doesn't have to go to school as an apprentice to complete his education. And if you show him a coin, he's such an expert that he should be able to determine whether this is a dinar tov or a dinar ra. And if he made an error, it must be due to an onus. I just want to point out to you, Rabosai, that the Rambam, when he codifies this sugya, Hilchos Schirus, Perek Yud, he writes, Dafka bechinam potur abaki. When we say that a mumch is potur, that's because he has a general level of achrayus of shmir. When I say general, I mean basic, fundamental. But if he's being paid, then we jack up his shmir and his achrayus to the level of what? Shomasachar. Shomasachar is chayav for what's called ones ke'en gneva vaved. So remember, we discussed this last week. There are two different levels of ones. There's ones, which means that you provided the basic level of shmir, your shomer chinam, and circumstances beyond your control, like gneva, somebody broke in and stole the object, that's ones, and you're potter. And uman is potter if he's gratis, if he's not being paid for kilkul, because then we assume that since he's an uman, the kilkul is a result of ones. However, if the uman is being paid for a shmira, and we jack up his demand, we demand more of a level of shmira, such that which normally relative to a shamachinim would be considered ones, but relative to shamasachar it's considered gneva aveda, and he's chayav. Then the Rambam says b'shamasachar chayav. So the Magid Mishnah makes the following comment on the Rambam. He says afal pi sheva gemara lo nizkar. According to the Rambam, the Gemara should have added some sort of qualification. Why is the Uman Patur if he fits into this category of Danku Visa? Because he's not being paid. But if he's being paid for services, which is quite common, you take something to an expert witness, you know, he demands funds for that. So the Gemara should have said that there is a distinction between schar and chino. That's the Magid Mishnah's objection to the Rambam. And therefore the Magid Mishnah is so convinced that he says, Yesh ledamos etzeh ledin tamach uman she'imu b'schar chayov. You're going to have to tell me that, against the Rambam I mean, that our case of a shulchani is the same as a tamach uman, who's being paid for a shkita, and when I take this coin to the money changer, I'm paying him a fee, and therefore he's a shomer sachar. So why does the Rambam insist that in the case where he was bechinam, he's potur, and he gives an answer that uman sha'osa bechinam potur came and shu omer ma niralo ma yesh lo lasos. So the answer that the Magid Mishnah wants to offer here is that there are two ways of going to an Uman. One is to go to an Uman and the Uman provides a service in the classical sense, like the case of a tabach uman. And then there's another case where you go to an uman for an expert advice. And he says the difference is that in the case of advice, the uman says to you, you know what? This is what I think you should do. I don't know if you ever had that experience. You went to a lawyer, and the lawyer is going to tell you, you know, should you enter into this contract or not enter into the contract? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But in such a case, he says, the uman is not taking upon himself achrayus. He's just giving you what he considers to be good advice. The when does the uman take on a whole new level of kabbalas achrayus? That's only if he's paid for it. He says, Uman, kishu notel schar, eino notel schar, He's not taking money as an eitzah, telling you yesh lo lasos, but he's taking schar for a kabbalas achrayus, and he's mischayev himself. If you're paying me for my services and for my advice, then I'm going to tell you you can rely on me totally. I'm not just giving you what I consider to be an eitzah tova. Imu hejot. Now this is the main chiddush of the Magen Mishnah. We said the hejot is chayev. He says afilu eino notel schar, because again, according to the case of Uman, where he's potter is because he's not being paid for it. Now, when we get to the hejot, if he's not being paid, so he never took upon himself a chayus, why is he chayev? So he says that his status is that of a mazik, but he's not a mazik biyadayim. He's called a mazik midina de garbi. So it's very interesting. Why is he called a mazik? I mean, the uman we're not calling a mazik if he's not paid. Lefish lo hoylo lahachnis es atzmo bamesh eni yodea vehu yodea shesomchim ol. So I think what's kicking in here, according to the Magen Mishnah, are the laws of Nezikin. We've been analyzing the perspective of the Rambam on Uman from the laws of Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socha, Kabbal Sachrayus. How far did the Uman go? Did he just offer you his services? You know, this is a coin, I think it's good. You should take it. Because if you refuse to take it, you might lose the deal. I give you an advice. Or no. He was Makabal Achrayus, and that's the case where he's paid. However, there's another element here that enters into the equation, and that's my Nezikin. Now, normally, if I give you a piece of bad advice and you take a loss as a result of my advice, that's called Grumma. Grumma bin Nezikin. Grumma bin Nezikin, of course, as we discussed many times, is part of the Dini Adam, V'chai B'din Shamayim. Here the Gemara is establishing in the Brises that you're Chai B'dine Adam. How do you traverse that gap between Garmi, I'm sorry, between Groma and Garmi, meaning between a Ptur B'dine Adam and a Chiyuv of a Masik? What jacks it up to the level of Garmi? And the answer is that if A, I had no right to take upon myself this awesome responsibility, you know, you can imagine it could be a lot of money, right, of your receiving these coins, and B, I know very well that you're going to rely on me, so basically it's as if I gave you Maos Ros and Dina Ra, and that's Dina de Garmi. So Mirtz Hashem, I want to analyze this Magen Mishnah as we go through the Sugi of Garmi. I hope we'll get to it today.
So what you're saying is you're misrepresenting yourself.
Yeah. Because you're presenting yourself as if, rely on me, I know, this is a good coin. Mm. And once I do that, and I know full well that you're relying on me, and I shouldn't have done that, then we call it mazik. Again, it's not mazik biyadayu, but it's like mazik biyadayu. What case of groma is like mazik biyadayu? That's called garbi.
Somebody from the stance of the Uman is saying, what he's saying is that the Uman is not taking money because he's giving better advice, because whether he got money or he doesn't money, he's the same Uman. So if even he doesn't get money, so why is there a difference in the halakha? But the difference is, he's saying, is the money he's taking from you is, so to speak, is a premium that, because he guarantees to give you back your money if he's
correct.
Wrong. Not that his expertise is any different than what
right,
he was before.
Right.
But that
he never misrepresented himself. You know, he's an Uman, he always was an Uman.
Right.
And for whatever reasons he messed up. How can you find him liable to pay and compensate the person who accepted this money and now he doesn't know what to do with it? And the answer is because once you pay him, he takes upon himself a responsibility that if he doesn't deliver the goods, if he causes you a hefsek, he's going to reimburse
you. Yeah, he's offering you an insurance policy.
The fascinating thing about the Magen Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam is that there are really two different halachas, Uman and Hejamt. We thought that basically we were trying to define, is there a pshia, is there not a pshia, is it onus, is it not onus? He's saying, wait a minute, these are two different categories. One category is that of a shomer, and then we have to decide what level of shmira he has. That's the case of an Uman. The other category is that of a mazik. And if I misrepresent myself and you rely on me, and I know very well that you're relying on me, it's almost like I caused you a hezeg, be ofen yashir, as we say, in a direct way.
Because the charge is to pull you into thinking it's an Uman, so to speak.
And he doesn't charge him. You know, that's the pella here. He's saying, ha-hejo chayev afal pisha eno notel schar. That's the big difference. If you're analyzing it from the perspective of Shomrim, and you want to know, is this onus or not, it depends if he's paid, do you jack it up to the level of Shomer Socher? If, on the other hand, you're analyzing from the perspective of Mazik, doesn't matter one iota whether he's being paid or he's not being paid. Okay. So now the Gemara wants to know, you're talking about Dinku ve'Isar, ve'Isur. These are Mumchim Gdolim, as we said.
But they're mythical, you're saying.
Well, that's what the Gemara wants to know. How can you classify him as a Mumcha Gdol and then he made a mistake? It's a myth, like you said. So how can you tell me that the reason why he's Patur is because he's Dinku Ve'is? What could be, you know, when we talk about circumstances beyond my control, lightning struck. Well, for example, the animal dropped dead from old age. You know, Malchamovis, Malihocha, Malihosa. What did this guy do? He looks at a coin. He's the expert on coins. The last word, Elvamaito, what happened? Tohu besichsa chadata. In other words, the government issues new coins and until the coins are circulated on a regular basis, it's almost impossible to know whether or not these coins are valid. So what, there was an old coin that they took out of circulation, and they replaced it with this new coin. And the Gemara says that he shaita dinafik mituse sichta. In other words, just recently they issued this new coin, and therefore even the experts out of the market were not able at this point to determine whether or not it's a valid coin.
The new coin or the old coin?
The new coin, right? That's called Sichta Charita. Tov b'matbea chadosh.
Yeah.
And the matbea yoshan is nifsal. Hemidu achodesh bimkomo. Right, they replace the old coin with the new one. But rak ato, only now ato with an ayin yotza matbea zula shuk. V'lachem lo ispiku amumchim lamod al tzerosa. You can have a case where a person is an absolute mumche, and yet he himself is not
like,
capable.
He's like a hedger. He's like a hedger because he doesn't know any more than anybody else. He shouldn't have taken it on.
Oh, so that's what he writes on the bottom. He says, Yesh lahakshas. This he's quoting in the name of the Chidushi Arim. Kevon she'eno b'kiyim b'sichto chadato, ein lev lifsok b'matbeyazeh. Why do they open their mouths? I mean, didn't you realize it's a brand new coin? V'im posku v'to yu chayovu. So, Metaritz v'chidusha arim, v'danko v'isar, hoyu mumchim gedolim v'yoser, l'chein, afshalo hoyu b'kiyim b'sichto chadato, mikol akom, heyos v'imem tohu, v'adai shemumchim achirim, hoyu gamkin tohu, v'efshalomar shalo hoyu lehem lifso. I mean, I would have said something a little different, but I'll tell you what he says. He says the following, that you have to find a mumcha. I mean, you've got to know whether to take the coin or not. Now, it's true that even these great mumchim cannot know about this brand new coin on the market, but nevertheless, the halacha of hejot applies under the following stipulation, the following condition. And that is, why did you take it to me, so to speak, take it to him? Yenum is an expert. Right? Anilo mucha, val yesh mucha. Oh, the chiddush here is that that halach of hedjo doesn't kick in, according to Chiddush Arim, when there's no mucha out there. We're all in the same boat. Every expert is going to be exposed to this, to vulnerable to this possibility of making an error, and therefore that's not a hedjot. So why is a hedjot chayov? Because why are you opening up your mouth when you know that the guy down the block is the real
Why did he open up his mouth? Why did he?
Because no one else knows the answer either.
But if he knows that
somebody has to give him the answer, you know.
If he knows he's going to be liable,
then he wouldn't open.
Well, no, he's not liable. But I was saying he's not liable. Right, because he's an Uman. He's not a hedge. Our question was, Lachori is a hedge, or he has no beans about this new coin. With all the respect to his long history of expertise. So the Chiddush Arim is redefining hedgehot. Why is a hedgehot chayv to pay? Because why is he opening up his trap? He should have gone down the block. There's a guy at the other end of this, you know, like in jewelry. Not in jewelry. In silver. You know, you have a market of silver thing. My friend Mr. Zucker took me to it was a beautiful place, you know, it had...
The vaults.
What was it called? Is that what it's called?
Okay.
It's a painful topic to bring up with my wife because the candelabras that we brought there were stolen and she was so attached to them. I can't begin to tell you. But in any event, so you have silver, you know, there's so many different views or experts, you know, especially if it's antique, you know, and what is it real or is it there's so many fakes out there, you know, they tell you it's antique, they sell you a Kiddush cup, bupkis. It was used in a Christian ceremony, you know what I'm saying? But it, you know, they stamp on it a couple of Hebrew letters and they say it's a 19th century Hungarian Kiddush cup, you know what I'm saying? So you got to go to an expert. But the problem is, in this case of Sikta Chadita, there's no expert. So the Chiddush Arim is trying to present the thesis that why do we hold the hedgehog response? Because there is an expert. It wasn't your business. Right. But if there's no one more expert in this than I am, then my evaluation is just as good as anyone else. Honestly, I would have said something different than the Chiddush Arim. I would have suggested the following, that I'm going to say it in Hebrew and then you'll help me translate it to English. Yesh lefanim mumche shekoveh hamitziyut bashetach. How would you say that in English? That sometimes the expert himself
sets
the standard, you know. That's what I think is going on over here. That nobody knows more than him. He's the top banana in the field. And if he says this is a good coin, then all the other experts are going to say it's a good coin.
Right.
So the only thing that's missing in my pshat, because I don't know where this variable plays a role, is the government. What's the government saying over here? That's what confuses me. In other words, is ultimately, where is the ultimate determination of whether or not the coin is valid? Is it in the hands of the government? You know, we go back to ask the queen, you know, or
banks.
Or is it the banks?
It's
I don't know, they didn't have banks in those
money
days.
Changes,
I don't
the
think.
Money changes.
Oh, that's what I want to suggest.
If this
guy is the best money changer, the best expert in the business,
if he accepts it,
he himself is going to have an impact. Who koveh hamitziyut bashetach? That the other mumchim look up to him, and they say, "Well, if that coin was given the approval by Joe Mumchim, then we'll also." It's not valid a priori. It's valid because that's the mitziyut.
So what you do is you pay him in that coin.
When we looked at this, we struggled with the idea of why did he render an opinion also, but so we came up, Mitch, you know, offered the thought that maybe what happened here is that the lady brought to him the old coin, they just started minting new coins, and he wasn't aware that they did that, and this coin was nifsal. In other words, he rendered a good opinion on what he thought was a valid
coin. On the old coin.
On the old coin. He didn't even know the new ones existed yet. Okay. That was his mistake. And since he doesn't have the lotzichel and migmar, he never investigated that there might be changes in the marketplace. Now, Rashi looks a little schwer by saying, well, you bekiyin ba, it should have been, well, you know the lahem.
Right.
But it does explain why he rendered an opinion on something he didn't know, because he didn't render an opinion on the new coin. He never saw the new coin. He was looking
But well, what I was asking is, if your upshot is correct, why do we have to introduce the new coin?
Because he wouldn't have made a mistake on
now
the old coin.
The old coin is not valid.
And he wouldn't have made a mistake.
No, I'm saying, why not just tell me the old coin is not valid? Why do you have to introduce the new coin?
No.
Rashi says that Adayi lo yibekim ba. Ba means in the new coin. Right. Well, why is that relevant?
Because he would never made a mistake on the old coin. He sets the standard, like you said. If he said it's good, it is good. How could he possibly make a mistake if he's the expert? Because he's looking at a coin that was just invalidated by the government the week before and didn't even know there were new coins yet. Right. So he didn't make it. His opinion was still very valid in a different time zone.
But what I'm asking you is, let's say there's a period of time between X and Y, between X when they invalidate the old coins and Y when they introduce the new coins. I don't know. Maybe there is no such thing.
Well, they do that. It might be 6 months.
Right. I would say it's 6 months. So in those 6 months, forget about the new coin.
He should know.
Or maybe shouldn't know that they invalidated that old coin. I don't know why you have to introduce the new coin.
I was learning from this that in those days, the government decides to bring in a new coin that invalidates all the old currency.
I see. Okay.
Which is very strange.
It's possible. I don't know. The Gemara's language is that Hocha b'may to b'sikta chadita. But I think what you're saying is that because of the sikta karata, they didn't know that they invalidated the old coin. Hahi isisa de'achazia dinra l'Rabbi Chiya. Excuse me. Sorry. So who is Rabbi Chiya in this sugya? I mean, we know he was an Amora, but he's the Mumcha. Great. So he's the Mumcha. The Amar Lo Ma'al Yehu. So he told this lady that she can accept that coin and it's valid. Lemachar Asai Lekamei. The Amra Lay. The next morning she came to him, to Abkhir, and she says, Achazise. I showed it to other people. The Amruli, and they told me, Bishahu, it's a dinar ra. Velokanofically, and they're not willing to accept it. So in the marketplace, I'm stuck with coins based on your advice, and I can't get anyone to accept these coins.
But that means she gave him the old coin and not the new coin.
We're not talking about a new coin now. This is a whole new story, right?
Huh.
Okay, a new story.
But she had this. She hasn't lost out. She had the dinar.
So right, but no one's willing to take the dinar.
It's worthless.
Okay, but whether he said it was worthless or not worthless,
yeah,
she hasn't lost anything.
She what? I didn't catch it.
She hasn't lost anything.
No, I think you're wrong.
Question: whether she might have accepted on Rabbi Chiya's advice, or she already owned it?
Sold something based on his advice.
She
sold a cow. And the buyer paid her these coins.
She's getting the coins.
That's the case. I'm sorry. I thought that was understood.
I understand.
Okay.
Amalei. So Chiya says Larav. You know, this is an uncle nephew relationship. Zil Chalfe Niela. Rav, the nephew, took care of his uncle's monetary transactions. So Chiya. Rav Chiya mandated his nephew Rav to take another matbea out of his Rav Chiya's bank account, so to speak, and reimburse this woman. We'll soon see that he did it lifnim mishur hadin. This was not required by letter of the law. Uksov apinkasi, and write on my ledger. A pinkos is a ledger, I think, in fancy English. Din Asek Bish. In other words, when he gets back the old coin, he should write on it that this was a bad deal, so to speak. In Hebrew, it's called a schora ra. In other words, that I lost a coin and I got this one in return. And the reason for that is I shouldn't have even given her that advice. I shouldn't have agreed to see the coin, this coin that I have now in my possession.
He was a mumcha, was he?
He was a mumcha, but...
Okay. Mumcha but made mistake.
Yeah. In other words, let me explain to you what's going on here. Lufiani Staiti. He, as a mumcha, he's potter. Strict letter of the law, he's potter, he's an uman, and we just saw that before. However, if he is obligated in a mitzvah, and that's what we have to analyze here, if there's a mitzvah kick in, then there's a halach of lifnim mishur sadin. Meaning, if as a mitzvah he has to do whatever he can to prevent this woman from a loss, if he failed to live up to that mitzvah, then he should be reimbursing her lifnim mishur sadin. Again, as I emphasize, according to the strict letter of the law, she has no claim. When he asks Rav to write on this coin or wherever the piggy bank that has the coin in it that this was a bad schara, it means I took this loss. This coin is not valid, and not only that, I didn't even have a responsibility to see this coin. In other words, that there's no mitzvah here to see the coin. And now the question is, why not? Isn't there a mitzvah of gmilos chasodim, of chesed? She comes to him, he's an expert, and mitzvah mitzvahs gmilos chasodim, he should certainly see the matbea. So once again, I want to read to you the Chidush HaRim. We started with Chidush HaRim. Let's see. Michael, give me a few minutes, because again, I'm not feeling so well. And he says the following. Gmilus chasodim only applies kisha adam lo yafsid mikaspa. Are you familiar with this? There's a principle called efes ki lo yilcha evyon shalcha kodem l'shalcha mercha. In other words, I don't have to take a loss for your benefit. I don't have to kill my, spill out my honey, to my wine to save your honey. You remember the sugya?
Yes. But why should that be?
Wait, just give me a few minutes because I don't know what the Chidush HaRim is saying. So if you ask me what he's saying, it's not fair because only after I get a feeling as to what he's saying, then you could object.
You're a mumcha, man.
Yeah. I'm not a mumcha. Says the father. Again, Chidush HaRim. This is if you're a Hasid Shiyid. It's the Ger Rebbe. He says the following. He says, "Mitzad mitzvahs gemilus chasodim, ein mitzvah liros matbea, in yesh tzad sheyafsid mikaspo." If he's going to have to shell out from his own pocket in the aftermath of this chesed, then he's not obligated. The kevon, since yochol, it's possible litos. Right, there's a margin of error even for a mumcha. V'yischayev l'shalem shuv ein kan mitzvah. He says, therefore, afilu rak mitzad lifnim mishur sadin, imu adam she'ose tamid lifnim mishur sadin, he's still patur. Why? Because there was no mitzvah. Aval uman, another uman, not Rabbi Chiya, she'eno ose lifnim mishur sadin, v'im yite yechayo, yepatur, is Yeshlo Mitzvah Lira. So there's a paradox going on in the Chidush HaRim. You've got two individuals in front of you, right? One of them is Rav Chiya, and the other one is a regular mumch. In the case of a regular uman, who's not going to be paying back this woman, Lifnei Mishur HaSadin, because again, what's the din of an uman? He's patur. He then has a mitzvah of chesed. Why? Because he's not going to suffer any financial loss by doing this chesed. Paradoxically, Rabbi Chiya, because he's always knowing lifnim mishur sadin, and he's going to feel very badly about the fact that he was ultimately the cause of her taking a loss, he's going to pay out of pocket. He's memela. He doesn't have a mitzvah to give her this chesed. And as a result, this is called a Dain Esek Bish. What's a Dain Esek Bish? There is no, what did I gain over here by paying her and taking back this dinara? I gained Lefnimishus Adin. Lefnimishus Adin only applies if there was a mitzvah chesed. Here there's no mitzvah chesed. So basically what Rav Chiya is saying is that he shouldn't have gotten involved in taking this this sikud, how do you say in English, this risk, because chesed doesn't require you to take a financial risk to lose money out of your pocket.
I don't understand this woman. Is she an almona or something?
She's in business.
Again, she's not paying for it, that we saw, because if she's paying for it, Rav Chiya has to pay.
Why is there chesed here? What was the
chesed is to help a person, you know, she needs.
But then any person who comes to a money changer, it's going to be chesed according to that.
Well, not really, because I'll tell you why. Because any other person is not. Well, what are you saying, Michael? Well, that any other person is chesed? Well, is that what you just said?
He says, why is this?
That's called? True.
What?
Any other person would be chayav in chesed to help this woman out, to help anybody.
No. Any other person coming to the money change to do about chesed, he would be doing chesed for anybody that came to him. Is that what we're saying?
Again, we're saying the paradoxically, we're saying just the opposite. That anyone but Rabbi Chiya would be obligated in chesed to help this woman out. Why? Because he doesn't take any risk. Because the halacha is that an uman doesn't have to pay. Reb Chiya is in a very strange situation because he's going to pay her back. Why, lefnimishus adin, he feels compelled to want to reimburse her for the loss that he caused. Paradoxically, what that means, therefore, is that he wasn't obligated in the mitzvah of chesed. And if there's no obligation of chesed, there's no mitzvah of chesed, and therefore there's no lefnimishus adin. So he ends up feeling badly about this woman, replacing her coin, and he wasn't even Makai in the midst of Chesed, because the laws of Chesed have their bounds to it, and he overstepped his bounds because he was taking a financial risk because he's going to want to pay her back. All right, that's what we have so far. Let's make a little progress here, because I'm getting a little frustrated here. I want to finish the next mission. So the Gemara says that Maishna Danku V'Isur Diptire. Why do we say that the expert money changers are potur if they mislead? Mishum Delo Srichi Limbigmar. They didn't have any apprenticeship or education that they haven't yet completed. Is Rabbi Chiya Nami Lav Limbigmar Kaboy? Rav Chiya himself was also a baki, an expert in matbeos, right, to know exactly what it's worth. So why did Rav Chiya tell Rav to reimburse her? He didn't have any chiyuv to reimburse her. So the Gemara answers, Rav Chiya lefnimishus adin udiyavin. But again, why was Rav Chiya upset? Because he holds that, okay, he's going to do it. Whenever you accept upon yourself a chiv to pay someone, even though you're not obligated to pay someone according to the strict letter of the law, that's called lefnimishus adin. But Rav Chiya felt that he couldn't pat himself on the back for this lefnimishus adin because he was never obligated in the midst of chesed. The Gemara now quotes the drosh of Rav Yosef. This is a very famous Gemara. Kiditani Rav Yosef. So let's read the whole pasuk. This is in Shmos Yuches. It says over there, Vodatem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vodata lahem esaderech yelchu va vesamase asher yasu. And Rav Yosef is going to derive from every single word of this pasuk a different aspect of chesed. So let's start from the top. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, if you could open up the Chumash, I think it's Yisro, yes, actually, who's talking.
It is.
Vodat Olehem, Zebes Chayehem. Okay, now here's a gigantic machlokus as to what Beis Chayehem means. Rashi says Beis Chayehem is Talmud Torah, top Rashi on Kuf, Omid Alf. However, there are other Mefarshim who assume the following. I'll just read this to you. He says, Vadai lo nitan lefarish shakavona l'talmud Torah kevon shekvar kosuv betchilas haposuk. Do we have the chumash here? I know I brought in some chumash here, but I guess somebody returned them. Anybody have a chumash shmos here? Okay, so again, the premise here is that we can't be talking about Talmud Torah because Talmud Torah already appears early in the pasuk.
Oh, it's in the.
You have it?
Scroll
here. He has the whole pasuk there? In English or in Hebrew?
In Hebrew.
Oh, good. I can't hear you. What?
His heart et hem et achutim.
Oh.
Ve'et ha-torot.
Okay, so before the word Vodatim, you already have the Talmud Torah. So how, therefore, can we say Vodat Lehem is referring to Talmud Torah? So he says the following. He says, Tzarech Lomar, Sheba Moshe Lodiyam, She Imze Shemitzuvim Lasok B'Talmud Torah, Mikomakom, Lo yizbatlu min ha'umdus. Uki inyan she'omru be'avos, perk beis, kol Torah she'in ima derech eretz, b'teila, v'goreres omon. Im kein, beis chayem nikreis umdus, l'fi she'iker chayem l'talmud Torah. Okay, now this is the Zeri Yitzchak, I forgot his name, but he was a great Sephardic posek. And he reinterprets our Rashi of Beis Chayehem. Rashi is not referring literally to Talmud Torah, that's already written in the Reisha of this Pasuk. But rather, Beis Chayehem, and this is explicit in a Gemara about Metziah Daf Lamed Omid Beis, where Beis Chayehem is referring to Umdus. Right, Chaim is always considered a profession, a parnasa. And therefore, what Rashi means to say is that, again, it's a little bit of a push in Rashi, that when the Pasuk says Chukim v'toros at the beginning of the Pasuk, now Vodata, Lahem, Beis Chayehem, is that the Torah that you're learning in order to be maintained and sustained has to be adjoined with what? With umnus. Because Torah without umnus is betela. Es haderech zog milus chasodin. So the Marsha explains, derech is one word, but it says haderech in the pasuk. So what's the extra hey of haderech? Haderech hayadua derech Hashem. It's the way of which God works. That's the derech Hashem. And we're commanded lahalech achamidosav shal kadosh baruch hu, that's gemara in Sota. And that's gemilas chasod. So you remember, of course, the Chazal, mahu rachum, mafator rachum, kadosh baruch hu, is mevaker cholim, is menachem avelim, and he buries the dead, and so forth and so on. That's called Haderech. Yelchu zu biker cholim. Now I have two questions here. First, why does the word Yelchu indicate biker cholim? Why not Levi Sames or Nichav Avelim or any of the other mitzvahs? And secondly, we already had Gemilas Chasadim. Why do you single out biker cholim? So again, he quotes the Marsha, "Shu mekayma b'halicha b'lishu maaseh." What does that mean?
Different availing is the same thing.
don't know. But let me read the second part of the Marsha. This is a little bit more understandable. He says that the Gemara Bava Metzia establishes that Ben Gilo notel echad mishishim shebecholim. Now, as we said before, I don't have to take a loss for the sake of your chesed. I don't have to do chesed to you at my expense. But here in the case of Bikur Cholim, you're taking a risk. And that's built up, built into the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So in Gemilas Chasadim in general, there's no chiddush that would tell you, teach you that Bikur Cholim is obligatory. For that I need a special limud. Es hamas es adin. Did I skip something? Yeah, I skipped something. Sorry. Ba zuk fura. Burial. So burial is a separate category because it's not really chesed. It's chesed shel emes, if you remember that phrase. He doesn't expect any repayment. Why do you need a special pasuk for kvura? And the answer is that kvura bol rabos afilu zakein she'eno lefi chvod. The chiddush of kvura is that even though you know you're an older person and it's a little bit of a prisus hakovid to make the entire effort in going to this kvura, but nevertheless, you're responsible to do so. Es hamas es adin. What does that mean, din? He says, hamasa nasa al pi din. Vadin kovesh at hamasa royally liasas. Because when you get a ruling, a horah, the horah is meant to tell you, this is the maisa that you have to do. It doesn't necessarily mean that you went to a dispute, you know, in front of a bezdin, you sued somebody and he defended himself. Anytime you go for a question to a rabbi, a posek, whatever it is, he tells you the maisa. And that's din. Asher yasun zo lefnim mishur sadin. So he writes that this is not a reference to the dayon, because the dayon can only go lefnim mishur sadin if he gets the approval of both litigants. But other than that, he has to judge based on strict laws and regulations. But in this case, what the Torah is advocating is that a person in his relationship with other individuals, he should always try to go lifnim mishur sadin. And that's what I think is the reason why this Gemara appears here in the aftermath of the story of Rebbe Rabbi Chiya, who returned the coin to this woman. Did I ever tell you what I heard once from Rabbi Bamberger about notel echad mishishim shebecholio? What does it mean, a ben gilo? You know, some say it means we were born under the same star, the zodiac.
Same hour. Yeah.
What do you say?
The same hour.
Maybe the same hour.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the same month.
Maybe the same month. I don't know. That's ben gilo.
Same birthday.
So Rabbi Bamberger, who was the Mashgiach in Lander College, where I spent 2 years teaching, he told me that he thought very novel shot in what Ben Gilo is. The word Gil in its shoresh, in its root, is Gal. Gal is a wave. And a wave goes up and it goes down. He says that we have two different types of friends. We have, you know, sunshine friends. You know, they're always there when things are going well. But when things are going down, like nobody pays any attention to you, they're not there. The real true friendship is someone who's there to identify, not just in good times, but also in bad times. That's the concept of a ben gila. And the truth is, if you ask a person how many friends he has, he'll tell you, I have tons of friends. But I don't know how many ben gilas he has, you know. Someone who you can rely on when things are going down. Alright, we have another 5-6 minutes. Resh Lachish, Achvei Le'Dinra, L'Rabbi Elazar. Apparently Rabbi Elazar was an expert, so Resh Lachish showed him the coin. Omar, Rabbi Elazar's response was, Mahalyu, it's a good dinar. Omar Le'i, so Resh Lachish turns to Rabbi Elazar, he says, Chazei De'aloch, Kasamche, please, you should know, you should realize that I'm relying totally on you. And based on your advice, I'm going to accept these coins in payment for whatever I sold them. Orale, so he responds, he says, Ki Samchis Olai, Maile Meimar, what are you trying to tell me that you're relying on me? Are you telling me that the Imish Takek Bisha, that if it turns out to be a bad coin, is Be'inai would be required, says Reb Lazar, L'chlufeloch, to make good for it? For Atu Diamrit, you were the one who said, that Rabbi Meir who did Don Dina Garmi, that it's only Rabbi Meir who accepts the Aloch of Dina Garmi. Now, I would add the following comment here. Apparently, Rabbi Lozar was not being paid. If he's not being paid,
he must have made good the loss.
If he's not being paid, then he doesn't have a chiyuv to reimburse him. So what are you telling me, Resh Lakish? That under the normal laws of Shmira, I'm a Shomer Chinam, I'm doing the best I can to give you the best advice I possibly can. And a Shomer Chinam is part of Frozen. Hello, what? You're implying that I'm chayv under a different category. What was the other category that we spoke about? Mazik. No, Mazik. That's called Dina Degarmi. Why? Because if I tell you and you rely on me and now you take a loss, I've caused you a loss. My love, from the fact that you, Resh Lakish, made that statement that it is only Rabbi Meir who's done Dina Degarmi, is Rabbi Meir, but Velo Svirle Kavase. You yourself have not accepted the view of Rabbi Meir. So you passing like the Chachamim, the low down indeed in the government. So why do I have to pay? Omar Le, Resh Lakish says to him, "Lo, that's not what I meant to say to you, Rabbi Meir Usvirlon Kavase. When I said that Rabbi Meir was the one who was Machadish this Chiddush of Din Dagarmi, I also accepted Rabbi Meir. I didn't mean to say that because it's only Rabbi Meir we reject it. Hey, Rabbi Meir, where is the source that Rabbi Meir is done Din Dagarmi? So truth be told, I don't understand the whole next sugya. It's a long sugya, which we'll pick up next time. The classical case of Din Dagarmi, and that's a statement of Rabbi Meir, is what? Who remembers? We had a long discussion about it here, in this room. Hasoreif. Can anybody fill it in for me?
Oh yeah, he covers it.
No. That's wrong. But Garmi is Hasoreif Shtarosov Shal Chaveru.
Oh, right.
You're a Malveh. You're only going to a Shtar to collect from the low of 1,000. And I come along and I burn the Shtar. Mora says that Rav Ashi did this when he was a child. And Raphra forced him to pay when he became a god. After his birth. Why? Because done in Din of the government. And that's Rav Meir. The Gemara is going to offer now, I think, four different sources for Din of the government. What happened to Sorish Sharel Sur Chavera? I don't know. Just got lost somewhere in the shuffle. All right, Rav Meir, I will stop.
So when did I do this?
Now.
Right now. I mean, when I say right now, in another 2 minutes. So it gives you a little time to prepare yourself for a minute.
Which is quite unusual.
I want to thank everyone for bearing with me today. I don't know. I'm not up to par.
You must have been bigger hole.
I need bigger hole.
No, you must have been, you must have done it. This is what you get.
The four of us could take away about 6 feet each.
No, my granddaughter got very sick on the Shabbos. I don't know if I caught something. Yeah. Yeah.